resort. You're the smartest man I know. I can't miss it.
In the fourth reading of Parshas Vayeshanan, we now are going to hear about Aseres HaDibros. What the world erroneously calls the Ten Commandments, the truth is there are no Ten Commandments. There are 613 commandments. 248 are positive, 365 are negative. But there were Aseres HaDibros. There were 10 statements that Hashem made to us. And this constituted mass revelation. The only kind ever in history in which each and every one of the millions gathered around Sinai felt as if Hashem was speaking to them personally. And this is a big deal. Sinai is a big deal. So we're not going to learn Aseres HaDibros. I'm going to take my cue from Rashi, because Rashi hardly comments on Aseres HaDibros. He says, I already talked about this. I already explained what he says. But I'm going to talk about the Sinai lighthouse effect. What happened in the leading up, the moments leading up to Har Sinai, and what happened in the aftermath of Har Sinai, what that means to us today. So we're going to start off at the beginning of the fourth reading, beginning of the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy, and then we're going to go to the end. We're going to skip to the end of Har Sinai, and we're just going to frame the actual Aseres HaDibros, and we'll see how there's a lesson for all of us. Vayikra Moshe al kol Yisrael. Now, before the Torah was given, Moshe Rabbeinu, before the Torah was restated, Moshe Rabbeinu called all the Jewish people together by Yemer Leim. He said to them, Shema Yisrael, familiar words. Hear, O Israel, listen up, guys. Es hachukim v'es hamishpatim, the statutes and the ordinances, asher anochi dover bi'oznechem, which I am going to speak into your ear. Ulmadetem oisam, you will learn them, you'll study them. Ushmartem la'aseisam, you'll make sure to follow up and keep all of the things that you learn and study and hear and put them into action. Ushmartem, and then it says, pardon me, ulmadetem oisam, ushmartem la'aseisam, you'll learn them, and then you're going to watch or keep them into action. Rashi doesn't say anything, actually. But here is a beautiful little interpretation from the Rambam. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, says, whoever was taught by his father, not taught by his father Torah, which would include so many of today's population, the parents did not teach him Torah. Shemishol elim de aviv chayav lelamed des atzmai. You weren't taught as a child, that doesn't make you exonerated. You have to teach yourself. The moment you realize that you haven't been taught and that it's a Torah to learn, you're obligated to study, and the source of that obligation hails from this verse. It says, "Ulamadetem oisim ushmartem la'aseisim." You'll learn it and then you'll keep it. Sha'atalmud mevi lidei ma'aseh. For study invariably leads to observance and to actions taken. Ve'ein ha'maaseh mevi lidei talmud. But being observant does not make you learn it, and it will not necessarily lead you in a direction of study. The Malbim suggests that here we find three different stages in learning. He says, number one is, first you have to listen. Some people don't listen, though. What do you say? How should they learn if they don't listen? The first thing is listen. But then you have to think about it. He says, that's called iyun. You have to really ruminate, think about, what did I just hear? And then finally, you have to put it into action. And that's really what Yiddishkeit is about. As Rashi says in Chumash Vayikra, he says the whole point of learning Torah is la'asos. It's not an academic exercise. It's collecting information. The whole point of learning Torah is we should live better Torah. Okay. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's opening statement. And he says, Hashem Elokeinu korasi manu bris, verse 2, God has cut a covenant. B'chayrev, et chayrev. Chayrev is one of the euphemistic names for Mount Sinai. And we're not going to talk about that right now. It was not only our ancestors, meaning those who stood around the foot of Mount Sinai, and many of the people that Moshe Rabbeinu is presently addressing did not stand around the foot of Mount Sinai. They were born subsequently, a new generation. Some of them were small children. Some of them may have had memories. Many of them were not. It's not just them. Ki itonu anachnu. It's with us. It's all of us here, Eila Payayim, those of us who are gathered here, Kulanu Chayim, we're all alive today. As we are alive, Hashem has cut this covenant with us too. So it was not only with our ancestors. And the point being made here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each and every one of us and has expectations from every one of us. As Rashi goes on to say, Lo yasaviseinu kares Hashem es habris, not only with our ancestors did Hashem make this covenant, but rather, ki itanu, with us also. This is kind of like a shortened verse. The point being made is that Har Sinai and the events of mass revelation did not only have an effect on those who were there. The lighthouse, long-term effect of Har Sinai, has an effect on every Jew who will ever walk the face of earth. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to say. What happened at Mount Sinai? Panim b'fanim diber Hashem imachem. God spoke to you face to face. He did it bahar on the mountain, and it was mitecha esh. It was in the midst of fire. Panim b'fanim. How does God speak face to face? God has a face? What does that mean? Says Rashi, Omar Rabbi Berechia. Rabbi Berechia taught, Kach Omar Meshe. This is what our eternal teacher Moses said. Al Temru, do not suggest, Ani ma te'eschem. I'm selling you a bill of goods. I'm kind of like the person in the middle. And I'm telling you stories. I'm selling you something, but we don't really know. We have to trust the salesperson. We have to trust the person who is between us and the actual principal. No. That's not the case. Not kederach hasarsur. Not like the person who serves as a middleman. Oyseh bein ha-moicher l'lekeach. He does some shuttle diplomacy, and he's working between the seller and the buyer, and he gets the deal done. Harei ha-moicher, here, the buyer, or according to another version, the seller is the seller, or according to another version, the buyer, atzmei medabri machem. In other words, you spoke to God face to face. This was not where I came and told you what God said, but rather you heard from God directly. And this is a very, very important principle. Very important. This is where Torah Judaism separates from all other faith systems. And all other faith systems, there is somebody who claimed to have revelation. There are a group of people who claim to have seen a miracle. And the problem is that somebody can tell you whatever he wants. You may choose to trust that person, but you don't really know yourself. You're only dealing with the face of the company. You don't know what the boss really said. You never know. You didn't speak to him. You never met him. And you can always convince some people that you saw or heard anything. As Barnum and Bailey said in their great wisdom, you can fool some of the people all the time. So you fooled some people, that doesn't make it a fact. It makes it a fact that some people got fooled or some people got sold. However, when it came to Har Sinai, when it comes to the foundation of Yiddishkeit, of Torah Judaism, everything is built on the foundation of Har Sinai, which means mass revelation. There was no middle person. He doesn't have to accept Moshe Rabbeinu's words. Moses told us God said, zu gesund. But rather, we all heard it face to face. We all heard it from Hashem himself. And because we all heard it from Hashem himself, Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's a very different reality over here. Now, it is true, Anochi Oymed ben Havayo ben Echem, I stand between God and you, but Esahi at that time, Lahagid Lachem, to tell you, was Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem. But the only reason I did that was because you were terrified because of the fire. But Le'alisim Bahalema, you did not go up the mountain saying, but I was able to go up the mountain. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's why the business of there's this thing of Anochi Oymed Beinechem. I stand between you and Hashem. What does the word lemar mean? It says lemar saying, Musav, this refers, says Rashi, to Al Diber Hashem Imochem Betecha Esh, and Hashem speaking to you from the fire. Lemar saying, Anochi Hashem Aleikecha. He said, Anochi Hashem Aleikecha, Va Anochi Oymed Bein Hashem Ubeinechem. I stood between God and between you. So what does that mean? I stood between God and you. Ibn Ezra says, after the Torah was given, or after at least the events of Sinai. So first, the events of Sinai were panim v'panim, which incidentally does not have to mean face-to-face, because God has no face. But as the Ksav HaKabbalah says, that the word panim is milashim pnimius. It comes from a sense of inwardness, that Hashem spoke to you the esoteric, mystical secrets of Torah to give you the profound depths of Torah, that are never revealed to anybody else, and that's a description of mass revelation of what they saw and knew at that moment. So the other way to understand this, as the Bala Akedah says, first two commandments, the first two statements, Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Le'yilecha, you heard from Hashem himself. The Bala Akedah says, that's the meaning of these two psukim. First, it says, Panim b'fanim dibir Hashem imachem. Hashem spoke to you face to face, directly, Bahar mitecha eish, out of the fire. And then the next verse it says, Anoichi oimid ben Hashem u'beinechem. Says the Bala Akedah, that's right. The first two we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we couldn't take it. So the rest we heard through Moshe Rabbeinu. But nonetheless, the first two we did hear directly from Hashem. Now the Ibn Ezra does not take that approach because ultimately the Jewish people, even when they heard the rest of the Dibris, they heard Hashem speak to Moshe. It just wasn't a first-person address. So it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu told them Hashem spoke. They heard Hashem speak to Moshe. So what is the meaning of Beini u'Beinecha, between us, that I stand between us? So this could be after Matan Torah altogether. This could be subsequently. In the later times when the rest of the Torah was given, so there, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who told us the rest of the mitzvahs. But at any rate, there's a certain direct nature of our revelation, of our experience at Mount Sinai. It was a direct thing face to face. That sets the stage, or that sets the table for the Lighthouse effect of Sinai. This is not like the rest of the mitzvahs you heard. This is not like the rest of the Torah. Here it was something that you heard directly. Got that? Okay. Aseres HaDibris, we're going to skip over Aseres HaDibris now, because we've already studied Aseres HaDibris. Let's go now to the postmortem, the aftermath, which is the beginning of the fifth reading. So these things, which all of you are familiar with, because you saw the movie. I'm just kidding, because you learn Chumash. And you learn Parshas Yisrael. Says now the Torah in verse 19, these very words, Dibir Hashem el kol kahalchem, God spoke to your entire congregation, your entire assembly, and he did it bahar, on the mountain, mitecha ish, from the fire, from that burning, smoking mountain. Ha'onan, ha'arafal, the clouds, the thick, acrid smoke. A kol godel, a great voice, v'lo yosef. A great voice, I will see what v'lo yosef means. Rashi will explain, it means it does not end, an unending voice. And then, after that great experience, v'yichtevim al shnei luchos avonim, then he wrote them, inscribed them onto two tablets, two slabs of stone, v'yitne meloi, and he gave them to me. Okay, so after we follow up now, Moshe Rabbeinu re-emphasizes, reiterates the idea that the two slabs of stone were given, but before we go on to the actual luchot, he emphasizes again that these are the words that Hashem spoke, el kol kahalchem. He spoke to all of you who were assembled, and he did it bahar mitoicha esh, on the mountain from amidst the fire. Rashi says, what is the meaning of v'lo yosef? What is this meaning? Usually, yosef means to add. So v'lo yosef, one would think, means he didn't add. And there is such an interpretation. There are those who maintain that the point here is Hashem never did this again. Mass revelation was a one-time event in history. Only once did Hashem speak to all the people. However, Rashi says the word v'lo yosef, mitargem minon, is rendered by unkelus as v'loi pasak. V'loi pasak means it did not end. What does it mean it didn't end? The voice of Sinai is still going? What does that mean? So there's something called the Doppler effect. And that means that you can hear the voice recede. A voice sound gets fainter. So Rashi says, l'fisha midas basav adam, because human nature, the nature of the natural physical world is, person is in yochel adaber called devar of b'neshima achas. A person cannot say everything that he or she wants to say with one breath drawn. It's not possible. Umidas hakadosh baruch hu einikin. But when God speaks, it's not so. Loi hayah poisek. There was no interruptions. He didn't stop to catch his breath. So that's something that the Jewish people would see is unusual. This is not regular speech. This is a different kind of speech, because a regular speech has to constantly be replenished. You need new, more oxygen to continue with the output. And the louder the output is, the more oxygen you need at some point. Here was no, there was no necessity for a continued flow of fresh oxygen. So Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that L'Hoya Pesach, but Rashi adds now. Because the voice did not get interrupted, there was no need to draw a breath. What means is, there was, means that the words came out of Hashem, and there was no interruptions, and therefore, the voice did not end, which means, just like that voice does not get weaker, at some point the person gets winded. You're talking. You're using tremendous strength to project your voice, and at some point, it gets weaker. Why? Because you finished. You spent the oxygen. But over here, the oxygen doesn't get spent because there is no oxygen. And in that case, the voice also doesn't end. What this means, we'll soon see. Dover Acher, another way to understand this, v'le'yosef, v'le'yosef should be interpreted as, it did not happen again. Le'yosef ha'le'heirois ba'yosef pumbi, God never revealed himself in that kind of public forum. Yes, sure, there were various prophets who understood and knew and felt the presence of Hashem and were communicated to, but never again was this done in a manner of mass revelation. Yes, the people saw fire come down on the time of Eliyahu HaNavi. True, we went to the Beis HaMikdash, we saw the presence of Hashem, but it was never in that way which we felt Hashem speaking to us and knew the oneness and presence of Hashem in the manner that we experienced him outside. Okay, this is the literal pshat. So now, to complete this lighthouse effect, I would like to share with you the words of the Medrash Rabbah. These words of the Medrash Rabbah, quoted here in Biuri HaChumash, page 60, page Samach, we're going to learn, try to learn today, Simon Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, chapters 11 and 12. The Medrash Rabbah says on the words Kol Gadol v'lo Yosef, a great voice that was unending. Medrash Rabbah says something which is not on a level of pshat at all. So it's a homily, a drash. It says Kol Echad Nechalak L'Zayin Kolis. One voice divided into seven voices. V'hei Nechalakim L'Ayin Loshem, and seven voices divided into 70 voices. What in heaven does that mean? What does it mean we say that the voice of God divided into seven, which became 70 voices? Oh, so, lucky for us, we have the Rebbe's explanation on the Medrash, otherwise you'd be left in the dark.
The 70 nations.
Ah. Yesh Levayer, the Rebbe suggests, we may explain Chalukas HaKol Shel Matan Teira, the division of the voice of, at Sinai, L'shivim Loshen to 70 languages as follows. Yeduim Divrei HaRambam. There's a very famous Psak Din, a very famous halachic ruling of the Rambam. And this is found in the Laws of Kings in the 8th chapter, Halacha 11. And it's regarding Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, regarding the seven Noahide laws. What does the Rambam say? Quote, Kol HaMekabel Sheva Mitzvahs. Any human being who accepts upon himself to live in accordance with the seven Noahide laws, v'nizer la'aseis, not only he accepts upon himself, so in principle he says, yes, I'm going to do this. But not only does he agree in principle, but he actually follows through. He actually does it. He lives in accordance with this. Harei ze mechasidei umesailam. That person earns the distinction of being the righteous of the Gentiles. The Rambam says, so what? Who cares if you get a fancy title and they plant a tree for you in Yad Vashem? What do you get out of being one of the righteous of the nations? Says the Rambam, v'yesh le'chelek le'ilam haba. That person has a portion in the world to come. He's got a piece of eternity. However, caveat, v'hu, she'yikabal eson, v'yasa eson, This is with the proviso that he or she accepts this and does this, mipnei shetzivsa bahen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah, because God commanded that we keep the seven Noahide laws. So one who will keep the seven Noahide laws because they're logical, they're rational, because they fit into a different faith system that he or she may have studied, that's not Hasidi Umas Olam. The Rambam says Hasidi Umas Olam means you accept the principles, you're ready to do everything that is entailed in the seven Noahide laws because Hashem gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Because he informed us through Moshe, you say, what? Moshe? Sinai? Noach, or really Adam, precedes Moshe Rabbeinu by many generations. 27 generations to be exact. And they lived long years. So it's really in our time, it would be much more than 27 generations. A very long time. 2,248 years into creation. You do the math. Subtract the time for Noach, but really most of these laws were given already for Adam. So what does it mean? It means that Hashem gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what I commanded Adam. This is what I commanded Noach. This is what I commanded humanity at the beginning of creation. And if people will do that which the Torah says, because Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu regarding that which he had instructed humanity centuries earlier, and you keep it for that reason, you have a portion in the world to come. The Rambam says something shocking. What if a person will do seven Noahide laws? He will follow this code. But he does it because it's logical. He comes to the conclusion that this has to be a good way to live. Ein ze ger teshuv. He doesn't have the halachic status of being a resident alien of Israel. The einei mechasidei umas ha'olam. That person is not considered to be a righteous amongst the nations. He's not one of their wise people. One of their wise people, one of their people who deserves a portion of eternity in the world to come, that's the person who does this because Hashem gave it.
So you have to believe in the one
God. You have to believe in the one God. Obviously, that's part of Shavim Mitzvah Deiner, but much more so. You have to believe and accept that Hashem gave this at Har Sinai. So where's the source of the Rambam?
So you didn't have to do it beforehand?
They did. What they had to do beforehand, they had to do beforehand. But right now, presently, after the Torah was given, the reason that seven mitzvahs, Bnei Noach, must be kept is because of Har Sinai. So even though we say, Asher Bachar Banu, God selected and chose us, V'nasan Lanu, He gave us Esterase, gave us the Torah, it's a Jewish thing. Nonetheless, there is a larger lighthouse effect. And the light of the Torah shares is spread not only for the Jewish people, but in fact for all of humanity. All of humanity are created in the image of God. The Rebbe says, V'yesh leimar, the Rebbe says, it's reasonable to suggest. Shelekach remezes ha'uvda shekel gadol shematan Torah. When we talk about this great voice, and this great voice, as we saw in the beginning of today's lesson, is speaking to Jewish people, you and me. It's not just your ancestors, it's you. It's today. This covenant is something that's relevant, that it's meaningful, and it's important, that it's impactful for you as a member of Am Yisrael. And this is the great voice that would lend itself to this mass revelation to every single Jew who stood around the foot of Mount Sinai, literally and proverbially.
It didn't say to every Jew, it said Kulchem, including your servants and everybody else.
Kulchem, that's who was there. There was nobody but Am Yisrael. There was Erev Rav there also, but it was all members of the Jewish people. Nobody else attended at Mount Sinai. It was a family event. So this Kol Gadol, this great voice, this great revelation, this thing that Hashem spoke to you, panim b'panim, doesn't mean to other people. Nobody else was there. Yisro already joined the Jewish people, according to the opinion that Yisro came before Mount Sinai. So it's all Am Yisrael that's standing there. But this great voice also alludes, this Kol Gadol alludes to the nature of Matan Torah, that it's Nechalak L'Shivim Lashem, that it divides into 70 languages. L'lamdeinu, to teach us. Shegam Oysan Mitzvahs, Hamiyuodes L'Umas Ha'ilam, that the mitzvahs which are intended for the nations of the world, for all of humanity, and are not uniquely Jewish. The nations of the world are represented by the various languages that they speak, which, by the way, how do we refer to human beings? In Torah parlance, how do you call a what's the name for a person, for a human?
Adam?
These are names for men. The name is, we say, there's an inanimate reality, that's called doimim. There's a vegetative reality, that's called tzomeach. There's an animal reality, that's called chai. And then there's medaber. What's medaber?
One who speaks.
One who speaks, one who communicates. Because humanity is uniquely poised to be able to engage in communication. Animals have some smarts and wisdom. They can figure out how to survive. They can figure out how to forage and get food. They can figure out when it's time to get out of here. They have lots of wisdom. They don't write poems, sonnets, and they don't even send text messages. They cannot communicate. Communication is a uniquely human thing. So when you want to talk about the different nations of the world, what's the best way to describe the concept of humanity, of the wide range of humanity? We speak many languages. We communicate many different ways. This is the idea not only of the spoken language ultimately, but body language and various mores and ethos of every civilization, every particular society that speaks and communicates in a certain way. So the Shivim Lashon is a proverbial concept. Besides that there was once actually 70 spoken languages, it's a proverbial idea of 70 spoken languages. It's the Lamdeinu, it's to teach us. Shigam Eisan Mitzvahs HaMiyuadis L'Umas Ha'ilam, that the mitzvahs intended for, earmarked for the nations who speak the 70 languages, so to speak. Mekoiran, where is the source for their mitzvahs? Even though there is no non-Jewish Matan Torah. Matan Torah is a Jewish event. Nonetheless, they are linked and connected also to the great light that shone forth at Har Sinai. The Yesh L'Kaiman, they should fulfill this Biglal, because Tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because God commanded it at Sinai through Moshe, V'lo Mipnei Hechra Hadas, not because they come to the logical conclusion that this is the appropriate, meaningful, and proper way to live life.
But they weren't there. So we don't have an excuse. We were all there. We heard it. We can't, you know, they didn't really hear it. So how, you know,
they didn't hear it. They were not given the Torah as we were given the Torah. What obligates them is that Hashem says they're obligated. They're not judged, by the way, as we are judged. When they don't perform what they're supposed to do, Hashem doesn't come down like he comes down on us. So there's a much, much smaller level of culpability and responsibility when you compare it with the way we are held accountable. But nonetheless, that's what Hashem says. That's the commandment he gave. And just like you say, I was there, I don't remember. There's this concept, the spiritual concept, where you were not just there spiritually, but it was even in some kind of metaphysical / material reality. There was your neshama and my neshama. We were actually there at Har Sinai. And the lighthouse effect of Har Sinai ultimately serves to illuminate all of humanity. So it's really a gewaldika thing. If you ask, somebody will ask you, what's the long-term lighthouse effect of Har Sinai? You know what a lighthouse is? It tells you there's a rock over here, right? If only the iceberg would have had a lighthouse on top of it, the Titanic would still be around, right? So lots of people crash on the rocks. They don't make it to the journey of life. The treacherous waters of life, they end up crashing it because they don't have light. But the Torah, it gives us light. Who does the Torah give light for? Really, by extension, for the whole world. The deeper lighthouse effect is relevant and meaningful for all of humanity, even though it's a Jewish event. Which lends itself very neatly and snugly to the concept we are Orla Goy in the Satira, that we actually have a job to be that lighthouse, to be that beacon of illumination, to be able to guide and share the message of spiritual, divinely ordained morality. But ultimately, Har Sinai, a Jewish event, has a larger effect on all of humanity. And that's the Kelgod of Eli Yosef. The Rebbe suggests this is what the Medrash means when it says that great voice divided into seven, which ultimately split into 70, communicating with and impacting the entire range of the human family.
Shrike.